Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. It happens almost every Friday evening, my dear friends, without fail. Old Eddie comes strolling along the beach toward his favorite pier. Clutched in his bony hand is a bucket of shrimp. Eddie walks out to the end of the pier, where it seems he's almost lost to the entire world. Everyone has left the beach except for maybe a couple joggers. Standing out on the end of the pier, Eddie is alone with his thoughts and with a bucket of shrimp. Before long, however, he's not alone. Up in the sky, 100 little white dots come screeching, squawking, gliding their way toward that lanky frame standing on the end of the pier. Before long, dozens and dozens of seagulls have enveloped old Eddie, their wings fluttering and flapping around wildly. Eddie stands there tossing shrimp to these hungry birds. As he does, if you listen closely, you can hear him say with a smile, "Thank you, thank you, thank you." In a few short minutes, the bucket is empty, but Eddie doesn't leave. He stands there, lost in thought, as though he were transported to another place and another time. Invariably, one of those seagulls lands upon his sun-bleached, weathered hat, an old military hat that he's been wearing for years. When he finally turns around and begins to walk back toward the beach, a few of the birds hop along behind him as he heads his way over to the pier. He goes to the stairs, and as he's about to climb the stairs, the birds fly away. And old Eddie quietly makes his way back home at the end of the beach. Now, if you were sitting there on the pier that day, next to your campfire, singing some hymns to welcome the Sabbath, Eddie might look like he's some kind of funny old geezer, as my dad used to say. Just an old codger, lost in his own weird world, feeding seagulls with a bucket of shrimp. To the onlooker, rituals either look very strange or they look very empty. They could seem altogether unimportant, maybe even to the point of nonsense. You know, old folks often do strange things in the eyes of this youth-worshipping culture we live in. Most of them would probably write old Eddie off as suffering from the effects of old age, where he lived in sunny Florida. That's too bad, my dear friends, because they would do well to know him by his real name. It wasn't old Eddie, it was Eddie Rickenbacker. He was a famous World War I flying ace, and he was also a Medal of Honor recipient. While touring U.S. air bases during World War II to kind of beef up the morale of the troops, he and seven other members of his flying crew went down over the Pacific. There was a malfunction in their navigation system, which forced them to land hundreds of miles off course. Miraculously, all the men survived that crash landing, crawled out of the plane, and climbed into a raft. Captain Rickenbacker and his crew floated for days on the rough seas. They fought the sun, they fought the sharks, but most of all, they fought the hunger. By the eighth day on the ocean, their rations were completely gone. They were hundreds of miles from land, and no one knew where they were. They needed a miracle. That afternoon, as they did every afternoon, they had a short devotional service, and they prayed for a miracle. They tried to nap. Eddie leaned back and pulled his military cap over his nose. Time dragged on. All they could hear was the slap of the waves against the raft. Suddenly, Eddie felt something land on top of his cap. It was a seagull. Old Eddie would later describe how he sat perfectly still, planning his next move. The rest of the men sat breathlessly in the raft, waiting to see what was going to happen. With a flash of his hand and a squawk from the gull, he managed to grab it, wring its neck, tore the feathers off, and he and his starving men made a meal of that seagull, a very slight meal for eight men. They used the intestines for bait, and with it they caught more fish, which gave them more food and more bait, and the cycle completed. With that simple survival technique, they were able to endure the rigors of the sea until they were rescued 24 days later. Now, Eddie Rickenbacker lived many years beyond that ordeal, but he never forgot the sacrifice of that first life-saving seagull. He never forgot that it was the seagull that died to save eight men. And so that is why he never stopped saying thank you. And that is why almost every Friday evening, he could walk to the end of the pier with a bucket of shrimp in his hand and a heart full of gratitude. And yes, if you could listen closely, you could hear him say, thank you, thank you, thank you. How wonderful it is, my dear friends, to have a thankful heart. Isn't it wonderful to be around people who constantly express their gratitude to each other? Of all the people on planet Earth today, Christians ought to be the most thankful of all people. Why? Because the text tells us today in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, 15, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Now, I want you to consider these words for just a moment, my dear friends. Have you ever received an indescribable gift before? I haven't. I've received a few wonderful gifts in my lifetime, like when I was 10 years old in 1964. And for Christmas, I received a brand new fire engine red Schwinn Hornet bicycle. And I know nobody in here knows what I'm talking about. But it was a wonderful gift, but not an indescribable gift. And the Lord gave me another most wonderful gift almost 31 years ago in my wife, Lana. And it's easy to describe how wonderful she is, but she's not indescribable. Sorry, dear. In describing God's greatest gift to humanity, Paul uses an interesting word here, and it's found only one time in the New Testament. And it's used to refer to God's great gift to us. According to Paul, God's gift to us in Christ is not only indescribable, it is inexpressible. It is beyond words. It is so far beyond human understanding that actually the word means unfathomable. What a wonderful God we serve. Now I want to read something to you from the pen of inspiration. It's called God's Amazing Grace, page 178. Listen to what the servant of the Lord says. The revelation of God's love to man centers in the cross. Its full significance tongue cannot utter, pen cannot portray, the mind of man cannot comprehend. What is it? Christ crucified for our sins, Christ risen from the dead, Christ ascended on high, is the science of salvation that we are to learn and teach. She goes on, who, being in the form of God, counted it not a thing to be grasped to be on equality with God, but emptied himself, taking the form of a servant, being made in the likeness of men, and being found in the fashion of men, he humbled himself, becoming obedient even unto death, yea, the death of the cross. It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost, that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to maketh intercession for them. And she goes on, here is infinite wisdom, infinite love, infinite justice, infinite mercy, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. It is through the gift of Christ that we receive every blessing. Through that gift, there comes to us day by day the unfailing flow of Jehovah's goodness. Every flower with its delicate tints and sweet fragrance is given for our enjoyment through that one gift. The sun and moon were made by him. There is not a star that beautifies the heavens which he did not make. There is not an article of food upon our tables that he has not provided for our sustenance. The superscription of Christ is upon it all. Everything is supplied to man through the one unspeakable gift, the only begotten Son of God. He was nailed to the cross that all these bounties might flow to God's workmanship. Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, nor entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Surely there are none that, beholding the riches of his grace, can forbear to exclaim with the apostle, "Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift." How do we, as mere mortals, ever thank our Heavenly Father enough for his indescribable gift? Do you think we should try, though? I do. Do you think that maybe God put us on this planet to be a people of perpetual gratefulness? Do you think that maybe that's one of the reasons why this church came into existence? So that we could display to the rest of the world out there and to the world in here how a truly thankful people can live their life in a continual state of gratitude? Being thankful, my dear friends, changes who we are. It changes those around us. It makes us more loving and lovable. It makes us a joy to be around. In Psalm 136, verses 1 to 3, we are told to give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his loving kindness is everlasting. Give thanks to the God of gods, for his loving kindness is everlasting. Give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his loving kindness is everlasting. Do you really think, my dear friends, that anyone could be despondent or depressed if they were the kind of person described here in Psalm 136, who continually thank God for his loving kindness? I truly believe that most people who are unhappy are that way because they are unthankful. Now, you might be saying to yourself, now, wait a minute, Pastor. People are unthankful because they are unhappy. But no, I believe that it is the opposite that is true. People are unhappy because they are unthankful. Have you ever hung around with people who are grateful? Why do you choose to do so? Because they're a joy to be around, aren't they? Picture in your mind's eye what life would be like if we were all truly thankful people. You know, it's so easy to overlook all of our blessings. We live in a great country. We have, for the most part, enough to eat. We have a home we can go to. We have money in our pockets. It's true we might not have as much money as we would like, but honestly, compared to the rest of the world, we are rich beyond measure. But in spite of all this, we are indeed sometimes slow to identify our blessings because we have grown up so familiarized to them. We take them for granted, and it's easy to do. I think you and I need to be reminded continually of what we have been taking for granted so that we can be more thankful people. But I believe we are given a magnificent gift on this holiday where you and I can focus on the greatest gift of all, God's Son, Jesus Christ. The real basis for giving thanks is found in the person of Jesus Christ. The greatest gift that anyone has ever given to humanity is the gift of everlasting life through Jesus Christ. You know the old story, don't you? God sent his Son because he loved us to do the greatest work for us that anyone has ever done. That work was dying on the cross for our sins so that you and I could be set free from those sins. Jesus paid the penalty for us all. He died so that you and I will never have to die the second death. He suffered so that the bondage of sin could be broken and you and I can live free in God. He took our place on the cross. He died for us, and He did it all because He loved you and I. Do you ever get tired of hearing the old, old story, my dear friends? God addressed our greatest need, our sin, by giving us the greatest person, His Son, to make the greatest sacrifice, His death, in order to give us the greatest gift, eternal life. And that, my friends, is the gospel in a nutshell. The gospel is this: God loves sinners. Romans 10:9. If you will confess with your mouth, Lord Jesus as Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you shall be saved. God gave Jesus, and thanks be to God for that indescribable gift. You know, those of us who have experienced the effects of this indescribable gift in our lives also know the gratitude that we feel toward God. How can we ever thank Him enough? How can mere human words adequately express the overwhelming and overpowering thankfulness and appreciation that wells up in our hearts? On the other hand, those who do not know Jesus may not feel that kind of gratitude. They may see the world as a dark place, full of despair and darkness. The essence of true thanksgiving, my dear friends, is an encounter with the living God. When we come to know the person of Jesus Christ and all that He has done for us and is doing for us, we will find that our gratitude grows. He is the one that can instill within us the attitude of gratitude. I mentioned earlier that we live in an ungrateful world. Well, look around you. Every day you will run into people who are bitter. I heard it said that some people are bitter not because they do not have anything, but because they do not have everything. From an early age, many people are taught to take whatever they can, as much as they can. Have you heard the old saying, if it's free, it must be for me, so give me three? Society, its advertisements continually remind us that we always need more, much more, and still more than that. You know, friends, our desires will never cease. They proliferate in all kinds of directions. And when those desires go unfulfilled, our hearts go unfulfilled. We become restless, distrustful, and envious. Paul taught us something in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 8 through 10. 1 Timothy chapter 6, 8 through 10. And having food and raiment, the apostle says, let us be there with content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves with many sorrows. Dear ones, I want to make this statement before I go on. We live in a world that's full of envy. I just read on the internet the other day that there are probably a half dozen men that have more than half of the wealth throughout the entire world. Have you read that before? So what? So what? Dear ones, I want to tell you that the wealthy have given a lot of money to see this message go forward throughout the world. There are many people sitting right here who have given a lot of money to make sure that this church keeps its doors open, There are many people in this church that have given a lot of money to see that we go forward with all the different programs we have. And I want to say thank you, thank you, thank you. To be wealthy is not a sin, dear ones. You all know that. Why then are this politics of envy going around all the time? So what if Warren Buffett has $100 billion in cash waiting to invest? It doesn't affect me. Well, it doesn't really affect me. Or if Jeff Bezos just made another $100 billion with Amazon? How much better do the rich make our lives? Dear ones, we are brainwashed to believe that if we do not have all the things in life, all the cheap little trinkets, we will not experience happiness. And so you look around out there, and there are many, many unhappy people. Being thankful has the power to change us into different people. Not only will we be different from those around us, we will also be different from who we used to be. We will be transformed. We will be transformed in our thinking and in our character. This fallen world would like for us to focus our attention on everything that is negative. But the way of Jesus is to accentuate the positive. We are to try and see and find the good in everything. Now please listen to Paul again as he reveals to us what a new way of thinking is. It's found in Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is good repute, if there is any excellence and anything worthy of praise, let your mind dwell on these things. As we begin to transfer our focus on the things which are good, our minds will be transformed. Not only will we experience transformed thinking, but we will experience transformed characters. In Colossians chapter 3, 15 to 17, and let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ richly dwell in you, with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks through him to God the Father. What is the common denominator in all of these verses I've just read to you? Well, giving thanks is underscored. It is stressed because it is indispensable to the character which reflects the beauty and magnificence of Christ in his word. There are many times when we could choose to look on the negative. However, I have read many stories about Christians who, when faced with incredible difficulties and hardships in their lives, they chose to look at things differently. I want to share one story with you about a young man I read who was in his early 20s. He went diving off of some rocks into a quarry with his friends. Well, he misjudged the depth of the water and ended up breaking his neck, becoming totally paralyzed. And thank God his friends were there to pull him out of the water, or he would have drowned. When a rehabilitation nurse came into his hospital room to give him some therapy, she was deeply moved and saddened by seeing this handsome young man lying in bed, unable to move his arms or his legs, with his whole life ahead of him. She simply broke down. She broke down and said, "I am so sorry to see you in this condition." And then she asked the question, "How will you ever enjoy life again?" The injured man simply replied, "Miss, that jump broke my neck, but it didn't break me. I know in whom I have believed, and I am blessed beyond measure. because he has given me the most indescribable gift of his son. He is with me. He is with me here in this hospital room, and he will be with me until he comes again. That is taking an obstacle in your life and turning it around. This is the evidence of a man who had a transformed character and transformed thinking. His life had been changed by choosing to be thankful. And there are so many reasons why, beloved, that we can be thankful to God. We can choose to be thankful for the gift of everlasting life, as I mentioned earlier, through Jesus Christ. We can thank God for the precious promises that he's given us that are all yes in Jesus. We thank God for all the material blessings that he has given us. We thank God for what he has done inwardly for us, for transforming our negative emotions like hatred, bitter, unforgiveness, and envy, and for thanking him for what he does for us outwardly, making us more loving and lovable, and a real pleasure to be around. Can somebody say of you, it is a pleasure to be around this person? Yes, my dear friends, indeed, there are many things in which we could be thankful for, but there is one reason which eclipses them all. Have you ever thought about it? Thanksgiving is the only gift that we give to God. Our thankful, loving hearts is all that we can give to God. God has given us everything. And he's given us the wisdom and the ingenuity to obtain the things that we need to obtain to have a good life. But our grateful, loving hearts are words of praise and thanksgiving to God and to each other is ours to give to God. It is exclusively ours. It is something we choose to do. It is something that actually delights the heart of God. Did you know that you and I can bring joy to the heart of God? Yes, it is true. I remember Brother Figures telling us the other day that all of heaven rejoices over the repentance of one soul. Right? We got that. Yeah. But you and I can bring joy to the heart of God. As it says in Psalm 69, 30 to 31, I will praise God's name in song and glorify him with thanksgiving. This will please God, says the scriptures. In closing, let me share one last story with you about a young soldier who recently returned home from combat actions in Iraq. The soldier had a young son, and during his rehabilitation in the hospital, the young boy was not allowed upstairs to see his father. And since the young boy was not allowed to go up and see his father, an orderly brought a gift down to the little boy that the father had made. The father had made the boy a small little fire truck. And the orderly gave the fire truck to the little boy. And the father watched from the fifth story window as the boy unwrapped the gift. As the little boy opened the package, his eyes got real big. He saw that wonderful little fire truck there, and he hugged it to his chest. He was thrilled with the gift. Meanwhile, the father was walking back and forth trying to get his boy's attention up there. But the boy wouldn't look up. The little boy put the truck down, he reached up, and he grabbed the orderly's leg, and he thanked the orderly for giving him the truck. All the while, the frustrated father is up on the fifth floor trying to get his son's attention. Look higher, son, look higher. I made the truck for you. It is I that gave it to you, son. Finally, the mother and the orderly were able to turn the boy's attention to the fifth story window. It was then that the boy cried out, Daddy, thank you. I miss you. Come home, Daddy. Please come home. Thank you for my truck. And the father stood in the window smiling with tears pouring down his cheeks. You see, my dear friends, Thanksgiving works both ways. We enjoy what God has given to us. We thank him for what he has done. And when we express that enjoyment and gratitude to God, it brings Him joy. Our loving Heavenly Father has given us the greatest gift of all, a gift that will endure forever and ever. Thanks be to God for His indescribable gift. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.